What's going on, everybody? It's that time again. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 253 on this Thursday, March 5th, 2026. Josh Calloway, Colin Kennedy with you on a Thursday. Colin and I weren't able to link up last week, so this is 2 weeks in the making. It's a full recruiting show. It's been a while since we had just like a full-blown recruiting Thursday, and we definitely have that today. Oklahoma, a major splash in 2027 on Tuesday with Cooper Witten. We'll, of course, get into that, break that all down at the top of the show. And then it's a massive recruiting weekend coming up. Future Freaks weekend is here. We've been kind of teasing this for the better part of a month, I would say, going back even into January. It's arrived. Colin has a visitor list. We're going to hit some of the biggest names, some other recruiting notes as well on a packed recruiting Thursday show to set the table for what's a very big weekend for Oklahoma football coming up with spring ball just around the corner. Before we get started, though, subscribe. Sooners Illustrated, Oklahoma, that 247sports.com. Promo code SoonersPod60. They get you 60% off a VIP membership for a year to Sooners Illustrated, the entire 247 Sports Network. Great time to jump in. That full visitor list for this weekend is on there. We're not going to hit every name. Spring football intel. Spring ball is about to start. Obviously, we've had lots of winter workout stuff, softball content, basketball content, baseball content. It just keeps flowing, so be sure to jump in and be with us every single day at Sooners Illustrated. All right, Colin, let's get into it. You've been a very busy guy. You've been out on the road, different places. We're going to hit that on the very back end, some of the kind of notes from the road for you and setting the table for what, like, we've been talking about it for a while, what's a very big weekend, Future Freaks weekend, coming up in Norman. But before we do all that, we got, of course, at the biggest news of the week for really OU sports, but certainly OU football and OU recruiting, Cooper Witten in the boat. The composite five-star linebacker in 2027, of course, the son of new OU tight ends coach Jason Witten, a future NFL Hall of Famer, committed to Oklahoma on Tuesday. Colin, just go ahead. I mean, it's obviously huge. I mean, even fans who I feel like only vaguely keep up with recruiting, or, you know, they're kind of halfway, we're aware of this one, you know, with the name, the level of player, you know, composite five-star. He's our number two linebacker in the updated, rankings this week in the class. Elite talent, obviously, right from down in your neck of the woods down there in Texas. Dive in whatever angle you want to hit first, but obviously a huge fish that Oklahoma gets in the boat. And obviously this is a name that they were in on well before the Jason Witten thing became a thing coming onto the staff. I'm sure that didn't hurt their chances, but they had a pretty good shot even before then. And they get this done this week, bringing in Mr. Cooper Witten into that 27 class, which is obviously ranked number one before. It stays ranked number one because they've been crushing it in that cycle.
Yeah, I think that a commitment, you can always get a sense of just how meaningful a new pledge is if, number one, the news doesn't shock anybody, but number two, it still feels massive.
Sure.
And it has the feel of a big get, and that is Cooper Witten. I think you set the table, obviously, with the fact Oklahoma was his first ever offer, like first ever offer. And OU brought him in for a summer camp a couple of years ago. He had, again, nothing going at the time, but the Sooners are very familiar with him because of their connections to Jason Witten, his father, and Liberty Christian. And Cooper comes to camp and kills it. It was a great day. Still remember watching him vividly go through workouts. And at the end of it all, they pull the trigger. They make the offer. And from that point forward, Cooper Witten was going to be of utmost priority for OU, whether Jason Witten was around the program or not. Now, we know that Jason is very much around Norman frequently, even before he got the tight ends job.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever the move became official that Cooper's dad was going to get a gig on Oklahoma staff, it only furthered what was already known in that Cooper Witten was arguably one of the top 3 to 5 prospects in all of 2027. Oklahoma wanted to land most. I think it's really helpful that he plays linebacker, having, you know, Brent Venables lead the way here. And on top of that, Cooper checks every box, character, being raised by an NFL legend. But on top of that, you talk about two-way snaps at the high school level, multi-sport background, has played wide receiver, has played safety, really fully committed to the transition to inside linebacker this past season, something I talked with Cooper about. And anyone that watches him, I still remember when he debuted in the early top 100 for his cycle, to the surprise of no one. Again, there were those folks on social media that were just saying he's only ranked highly because of his last name. And here we are today. Cooper Witten has only showcased further why he is number one, willing of his high billing, and number two, why he was such an important land for Oklahoma in this cycle. A huge get and immediately one of the faces of OU's 27 class.
No doubt. And it's funny just kind of the way it transpired, because, you know, again, this is a name we've talked about for a long time. Like you said, his first offer well before the Jason Witten, you know, becoming on the staff became a thing. But, yeah, you know, obviously the Jason Witten news happens and, you know, Cooper was open then about, I'm still going to take other visits. I'm going to, you know, kind of go through the process. And then there was the news that he's staying at Liberty Christian, which wasn't like a major shock, but that was a little bit of like a, I mean, if he's moving to Oklahoma, you feel like it's done, right? If he's going to come transfer up here and play at one of the schools here and be close to his dad, it feels like it's even more of a lock. But he you know, decided he wants to stay down there for his senior season, which is a completely valid move. But it just was kind of like, it kind of kept you a little bit on your toes. But in the end, this is the way it kind of felt like it was always going to shake out. And a huge get, obviously, for Oklahoma to go get this guy and to put him in that 27 class, which, you know, we've talked about is loaded. I mean, they've crushed it with what they've done on the offensive line. And now the linebacker room is rivaling the offensive line, because you loop in Taven Epps, who's also a top five linebacker for us at 24/7 Sports. I mean, two top five linebackers in one class. That'll make you salivate, right? I mean, especially with a defense and a coach like Brent Venables, that's incredibly exciting. Talk about that duo with Epps and just how they will kind of mesh, you feel like, down the road. And then just, if you want to go big picture on the cycle, obviously we still have a long way to go, but Oklahoma's still ranked number one. Obviously they were before. They're not going to go down after this. And I don't know if they're going to be able to maintain that. Obviously, again, it's a long way from now, but this class, we've talked about it, is awesome, and it just keeps getting better. They just keep getting big fish, and Cooper Witten is right at the top with Cooper Hackett as that top two guys. But it's elite talent all over the place in this cycle. Oklahoma has got to be feeling really, really good about what they've done in 2027 right now.
I think, obviously, anyone who's hesitant to fully buy into this being the number one ranked class in 2027 long term because of how early it is. We just started the month of March. I get it. But at the same time, it is ranked so highly because OU is addressing needs and getting their want type of guys at valuable positions, premium positions, and they're checking boxes in the early stages of the cycle, which is still huge. And I think when you look at the linebacker group, we've talked about linebacker subtly being a pretty important group to recruit to, considering the way that the math has kind of gone for that position over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
To get Cooper and pair him with Taven, I think that those two, what I love about them is Taven at 6'4 and 230 pounds and can play some edge, can play some will, could do really whatever you want him to. Cooper is kind of similar, but I think Taven and Cooper could easily be that Mike Will tandem, and Cooper's understanding of the game almost makes him a Mike plus, in that he's going to have the ability to be your green dot guy, but Cooper and Taven have just rare athletic ability that some inside linebackers don't have.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man, is a lot of these guys that Oklahoma is getting, they have these very rare skill sets. You think about Cooper Hackett, you think about Caden Penny, who's arguably the most dominant two-way player in the state of Oklahoma. Watching him in person play offensive and defensive line, I was blown away. And you could go down the list of guys in this class,
right,
that are simply standouts for what you're asking them to do. And I think it obviously has a lot to do with what Brent Venables and his coaching staff wants. It's also a testament to this front office, Jim Nagy, Lake Dawson, Taylor Redd, and what they're looking for and finding as the class goes along. It's one heck of a group. And where it finishes, we'll see. There's no doubt in my mind, though, this is one of the most impressive hauls to this point, and it will continue to be that as the class plays out.
craziest part too is they don't have a quarterback in 27, which is normally
maybe that changes soon.
Very, very possible, obviously. But that normally these high end classes, and at least since we've been doing this, but really historically, I mean, you get the QB early and you build from there. This class is, I got to think, very attractive for any quarterback, obviously. But that's kind of the one piece missing, if you want to say it that way. But yeah, unbelievable group, and Witten with Epps is wildly exciting. And yeah, I mean, just a big piece of news, and injecting a lot of excitement, I think, into the recruiting side of things. It had been a couple months, obviously it was a dead period and everything, but a couple of months since the last time they got a commit in 27, and they get a big one this week with Mr. Cooper Witten jumping in there. So some other recruiting stuff as well. Keep it moving. You know, we just mentioned Jason Witten. The other two new assistants, obviously Dalen McCullough at running backs, Lamar Morgan coming over from Michigan, the new cornerbacks coach. You know, I know you've been kind of out on the road and talking to some guys, and some of the guys committed to Oklahoma in 2027. What are some early returns here on the new assistants? Because, you know, they've been on the job for a little bit now. You know, I mean, not crazy long by any means, but a little while. Just the early feedback you've gotten talking to players. And again, I know you've talked to some guys in the class in 27 in particular that I'll let you get into. But early returns here on Dalen McCullough, Lamar Morgan, and these new assistants, and kind of the early recruiting impact, again, very early, but the early kind of buzz with these new guys on the staff here in the last, you know, month or so.
The overall consensus here is that, as you would expect, much like anything, honestly, that we do sometimes in this business, it's all positive, right?
Yeah,
like we joke about the post-visit jargon we throw out.
Yeah.
The visit was great. Oh, they nailed it. And it's like, all right, you know, give me the truth. The truth of the matter, though, is that these hires, I think people do forget, just got finalized like 2 weeks ago, maybe even less. And Dalen McCullough and Lamar Morgan, I've been told, like, just got their phones from Oklahoma, like their work phones from OU.
Yeah.
Last week. And so I'm out on the road, and I was able to talk to a lot of the current commits in OU's class in 2027 who are waiting to get to know these guys, right? And the summation for each, in my opinion, would be right now Dalen McCullough is blowing these prospects away with the resume and the pedigree, the proven track record. These guys are looking him up, and then upon initial contact, getting to hear him speak about his beliefs and his journey through not just coaching, but through life. And I think that the professionalism, the ability to connect with ease and almost sort of assert like a level of trust right off the top, Dalen McCullough has done an outstanding job of making these guys recognize almost like the name brand that he brings to the table. And I think a lot of guys are very excited about that. And for Lamar Morgan, I think what I've gathered to this point is a lot of these defensive backs have been very impressed with his technical understanding and his communication skills and just his overall awareness, right? And I think in that way, he's very similar to the guy that these cornerbacks loved in Jay Vilai. We know how passionate Vilai was about the intricacies of coaching and defensive back technique and day-to-day life. And obviously a lot of those recruits or the players on campus, they joke about Vilai and all of his different sayings and all of his different stuff. But
that
was a big draw. And I think Lamar, early returns have been, he's kind of similar in that way. Very, very like deep and full of depth in his approach, and I think a lot of these corners have been appreciative of his willingness to take things a step further in conversation. And so, you know, I checked in with Micah Rhodes and Keldrick Glenn on the running back front. Dalen McCullough reached out to them with his new work phone pretty much last week, and those conversations and those players, their camps, for lack of a better term, talking things through with Dalen, a lot has been good. And Keldrick Glenn basically already said, like, I'm not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So But I will say I have a lot of notes on both of those guys. Micah Rhodes continuing to get to know Deland, and then for Lamar Morgan, it was kind of cool too. Like, checked in with Mikhail McCreary. Mikhail McCreary and Mikhail Davis both heard from Lamar Morgan around sometime last week as well. And Mikhail basically said, I actually knew Lamar because he's the one that offered me at Michigan. So the Lamar does have kind of that background that should allow him to retain some of these committed prospects with ease. And I've also already heard that Lamar Morgan, his time at Michigan has allowed him to kind of pick up where OU has kind of left off with some of these DB targets.
Yeah, you're in my mind there, because that's what I was going to bring up, because we've talked about it, you know, the last couple of years, really, and now we're obviously in that cycle with how many good cornerbacks there are in 27. And I was just, you know, and again, it's crazy early, and like you said, it's all positive right now, but just the early, like, Oklahoma maintaining their momentum, or, you know, they're good standing with some of these guys, not to step on the toes of some of the names you might be about to bring up later on in the show here. But just it sounds like, based on what you're saying, that Lamar Morgan has stepped in and Oklahoma has not really missed a beat with some of these other big cornerback targets. Because that was the one thing whenever Jay Valai left that we talked about, was not the best timing in the world, just considering how good this cycle is. But it feels like they're still in great shape for some of these big names. Obviously, they have a couple already committed, but there's more out there that we talked about, you know, over the last several months.
Yeah, I think that the big theme coming up will be, now that the dead period is over and some of these targets are going to be on campus, what do both Lamar Morgan and Deland McCullough do with the opportunity to sit down and get to know these guys face-to-face? And while I think that the early conversations, especially with the committed recruits, those have been very productive. Obviously, you're not going to be able to take meaningful steps in a recruitment until you, as a position coach, truly get kind of that one-on-one time with a guy that you really need to land or want to land. And that's going to happen coming up this weekend, which puts even more of a, I don't know, cloud of intrigue around Future Freaks weekend.
No doubt. And that's where obviously we'll segue next, because, you know, we knew with McCullough and Morgan when they were both brought in that there was a lot of firm belief and valid belief, warranted belief, that those guys are going to recruit pretty well based off their past histories. Lamar at Michigan, Dalen going back obviously to Notre Dame, and obviously with Jason Whitney, who hasn't done the college level, just the name alone, you feel like was going to do some pretty good work for him. And so
the Sooners Illustrated podcast will be back after this short break.
On that note, you mentioned it. Let's go ahead and get into it. The Future Freaks weekend, it's here. We've been teasing this for a while, partially because, you know, dead period and stuff like that. There hasn't been a lot going on, but we've been kind of gearing up for this for a bit, you know, the last couple of months. And here we are. So big weekend coming up. Obviously, a lot of visitors coming in. We say this every single time. Visitor list is on the website for subscribers. Subscribe. You get to look at the whole list. Every name is laid out there for you. We're not going to get every name on the show. We're going to hit a handful that Colin wants to highlight for various reasons. But obviously, there's a lot more meat on the bone here, and that's why you subscribe and be with us over at Sooners Illustrated. But Colin, I'll let you let's do maybe a few names on each side of the ball, however you want to kind of handle it. You can choose where you want to begin, but very big weekend. It's exciting. Obviously, these are one of those weekends, Future Freaks. Obviously, you have like Champion Barbecue, certainly like the spring game weekend. But as far as recruiting weekends, this feels like one of the bigger ones every single year. So what are some of the names that fans should know about that you're most interested in kind of seeing how Oklahoma can make some progress with, or just whatever angle stands out to you? Where do you want to kind of start with this?
We'll begin with the offense, and it all starts with Jameson Roberts, the quarterback out of Saraland, Alabama.
There you go.
This is it. Like, this is the beginning of the end, if you will, for Oklahoma and Jameson Roberts. Now, this upcoming weekend specifically is so important because if you'll kind of remember, it was really around the dead period and things like that when the process for Bo Bentley really ramped up with Oklahoma. They brought him to that basketball game. They did all these different things. this kind of feels like the moment where Oklahoma really tries to get into closing territory with Jameson Roberts. And it's important to do so because Florida is very much in the mix. Georgia recently offered. We know Auburn and the new staff has now officially expressed its interest, which is important. Huge SEC brands are getting involved with a guy in Roberts that Oklahoma identified very early on and said, this is our guy. And so with the added pressure of league foes trying to swoop in and steal Jameson Roberts away, for lack of a better term, this junior day coming up is huge. And I think that Oklahoma has a full intent to try to get this thing figured out if it can. I'm not saying it will. I'm not saying that's what's happening. But like you mentioned, in recruiting, it is always helpful when you have that quarterback locked down. And Bo Bentley went into the summer. We've seen a lot of other quarterbacks go into the summer in terms of Oklahoma recruiting. And that's okay. That's more than okay. And I want to make sure that people know it's not the end of the world if Jameson Roberts leaves Norman this weekend uncommitted.
Sure.
But given the circumstances and how this recruitment has shifted or even elevated over the last couple of months, this is a prime opportunity to get your signal caller target on campus and pitch him on being the face of the group. We'll see how he receives that message.
Yeah.
But Jameson Roberts is arguably the headliner, if you will, for the weekend.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes total sense. I mean, we just touched on it a few minutes ago. You know, the one piece missing, and again, I don't know if that's really the right word, but is quarterback in 27. They don't have a quarterback in the group right now. And it feels like, as we've talked about Jameson for a while now, it feels like Oklahoma identified him as this is the guy that we like, the guy that we want. And like you said, his profile has kind of started to raise a little bit. You see some of these new offers coming in, like you said, these SEC teams that are chasing him a bit. But it felt like OU kind of got in on him early, right? I mean, or earlier than some of these other. And so we'll see if they can finish the job. It seems like it's been Ben Arbuckle's guy in 27. So definitely a big weekend. And like I mentioned before, I have to think that any quarterback in 27 who's uncommitted, obviously, at this point, you look at the options out there, I would think OU would be incredibly attractive, being in the SEC and obviously Ben Arbuckle. But with what they have in the cycle, I mean, you're stepping into a class that's loaded right now. It's got really good offensive line talent and good receivers. And obviously, you know, the defense is going to be good. I would just think if I'm a quarterback and I have, you know, big options, OU would be, you know, the offense obviously still a work in progress. I would think it would be very attractive. So we'll see what they can do with Mr. Roberts this weekend. Definitely a big storyline to watch there.
Yeah. And as far as the rest of the offensive side in terms of the visitor list, again, not going to get into every name. I would encourage folks to subscribe 60% off Sooner Spot 60, get the full list. I'm going to try and write a little bit of a weekend preview too with some stuff that I've heard going in, which will be a lot of fun. But I think two guys that we've talked about a lot, obviously the offensive line in 27 for Oklahoma is stellar. I mean, the haul in this cycle already is impressive. You've got Cooper Hackett and Caden Penny as the faces of that group and maybe even in the class in general.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Luke Wilson, too, from South Lake Carroll, who people forget, right, but was another early get for Oklahoma and a solid addition to the mix. But I think the guys that are worth pointing out, Gus Corsair, four-star interior offensive lineman, it's been known for a while now that he's going to be here for this weekend. He visited Oklahoma before the dead period as well with Caden Penny, and I believe Cooper Hackett was there, and Luke Wilson was there for sure. And a lot of the Oklahoma commits hung out with Gus Corsair on kind of his own personal visit before the dead period hit. Gus has this spring visit lined up and then several others in the spring, and we are expecting Gus to make a decision probably around April. But I'm not ruling out an accelerated timeline here. I think that Oklahoma has not only shown how invested it is in Gus Corsair, I also think that Oklahoma has kind of whittled down its list and is literally showing Gus that the Sooners see him as their top center target in the class. And I think that that means something. And so Gus Corsair is going to be one to watch for me going into the weekend and sticking with the offensive line. Tyson Ross, another interior offensive lineman who is also from the state of Kansas. This is another guy that Oklahoma has been in on heavily. He knows Gus, and Tyson knows the Oklahoma staff and commits well. I think this is another one, too, where if all goes well, I am still not ruling out an accelerated timeline, even though Kansas State and a few others have been pressing hard for Tyson Ross. So among the several other recruits on campus, I look at those two offensive linemen and say, does anything kind of advance for them out of this weekend? We'll come to find out soon.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, extremely tantalizing, I think, if you're an OU fan hearing that, because you love what you already have on the offensive line, obviously. I mean, Hackett and Penny is as good of a duo as anyone's going to have. You loop in Luke Wilson, it'll fire you up. So Bill Beamo is putting together quite a group. So you go add a guy like a Gus Corsair, who is a four-star prospect, or even obviously a Tyson Ross, like you said. God forbid both. I mean, you're talking about an offensive line group that is really something. I mean, it goes right along with the one you had a couple cycles ago with that Fasusi Foje group of like, whoa, this is big time to sign a group like this. So very, very exciting stuff on the offensive line there for Bill Beanbow. And if he can get one or certainly at least one, but certainly if you can find a way to get both to go with what you already have, that is quite a group, obviously, there in 27.
So defensively, I'll go rapid fire here. Sure. And I would tell you that the defensive visitor list for this weekend is unbelievable. I mean, the names specifically on the defensive side of the ball coming up this weekend, I don't think it shocks anybody that OU is bringing in stellar defensive prospects at a time like the current, but at the same time, I still remember the days of old, you know? And so I look at Jalen Scott, four-star defensive back, the safety out of the state of Alabama, another guy that many Oklahoma fans have come to know well. Mm-hmm. Jalen Scott got his LSU offer not too long ago. The Tigers were a dream school for him, but I still think that the Sooners are well-positioned. He was a former Auburn commit. He has so many prospects in terms of potential landing spots out there in the SEC and wherever else. But Oklahoma has arguably done the best job of recruiting Jalen Scott to this point. And I know that they have been recruiting him even back when he was pledged to Auburn, and it didn't seem like there was much of a budge there.
Sure.
So the consistency here for Jalen Scott with the Sooners has been huge. And I think it certainly helps, too, that a guy like Jameson Roberts is also of utmost priority for Oklahoma. Jalen Scott and Jameson Roberts are very close, and they have talked about potentially wanting to play together in Norman. Who knows? Maybe that gets talked about a little bit more coming up this weekend.
Sure.
Let's talk about Juju Johnson, cornerback out of state of California. And I think this is a recruit that a lot of OU fans have been curious about because, as we know, he set a commitment date at one point in the winter. And when that was set, it was like, oh, he's going to Oklahoma. That was a natural assumption.
Right.
That then gets called off. And I don't want to say it's been quiet, obviously. We're talking about a four-star top 150 corner. He's arguably one of the most coveted defensive backs on the West Coast in this class. But as far as like what was going on with Oklahoma and Juju, I think the general public was curious. Now he's going to be visiting Oklahoma. He has an official visit booked with Oklahoma in the summer. But UCLA has come on very strong. I've heard that UCLA is almost – reinvigorated in a sense in terms of program investment with that new staff coming in for the Bruins. And if you get a program based out of LA with, you know, a little bit of juice,
sure,
things can change. And I think too, it certainly helps that UCLA has a former Oklahoma guy in Gabe Lynn on staff coaching DBs, who's a very good recruiter. So UCLA's making noise. There are a couple of other programs. I won't dive in too deep, but this is an important visit coming up now with Juju, and we've talked about it plenty of times. The cornerback stuff for Oklahoma in 27.
Right.
Extremely interesting. So Juju Johnson coming in my opinion, is significant. I always try to make sure that when we do these pods too, we try to squeeze in someone who maybe we haven't talked about a ton
sure.
in the past. Sione Felila, defensive tackle out of the state of California as well from Oak Hills, picked up his Oklahoma offer last month. So very much a new name to the board for OU fans, but someone that the Sooner staff loves. And with the amount of investment that OU has put in terms of West Coast recruiting, this guy kind of feels like the latest layer to that effort. There are several programs like Cal with Tosh Lupoi, who I think the world of, BYU, and the list goes on. I mean, Felila's 6'2", 285, 290 pounds, kick inside guy, and it's no surprise that Oklahoma sees someone like that and says, let's mm-hmm. get after this guy. But I think this is an important one to consider because OU already has two defensive tackles. And I
right.
think sometimes right. that gets forgotten. And so there's a lot of discourse about like, oh, who are they going to add a defensive tackle? Well, they've already got two pretty darn good ones.
Mm-hmm.
And adding a third to that mix for several reasons can be tricky, right? I think Sione Felila is – arguably someone that OU's kind of zeroing in on, especially with this in-person exposure point coming up this weekend. I'm keeping a very close eye on this guy, Josh. I think this is one of several on the list who you go, all right, if all goes well, what could come from it?
Yeah, definitely very intriguing names there, obviously. In particular, Jalen Scott certainly stands out to me. That is a spot they don't currently have in 27, a safety. We talked about the depth at corner. Like I said, they have a couple of D tackles, but Scott at safety is just one of those last pieces. And Brandon Hall, we've talked about it throughout the years, has recruited his position really well. And young guys come in, have made an impact. And so he's one that, of the names you mentioned there, definitely stands out. And the connection with Jameson Roberts, it just kind of feels like, yeah, that sounds good to me, you know, one of those types of deals. So, definitely an exciting name that, yeah, most OU fans, I think, are probably aware of. And if they could find a way to get that done to fill what's a little bit of a void, I guess, if you want to put it that way, at safety there in the class to go with all those corners that they already have and more on the way seemingly with linebacker, defensive line. I mean, that's quite a defensive group in total. So exciting names, though. And there's a ton more, like Colin said, a couple of four stars that we just mentioned. There's more. I mean, it's quite the visitor list. I mean, I was perusing it this morning, and it's dudes. It's dudes on dudes on dudes everywhere. So, and like you said, not a shock that they're getting the attention of really good defensive players. I mean, that just when you combine both what they're doing defensively, but then the fact that young guys come in and are big impact guys on defense, they're willing to play freshmen. I think that really helps. So, Exciting recruiting list, offense and defense, but names everywhere. And if OU can make some hay, they're going to be in pretty good shape after this weekend, obviously. Already are, but it's fun. You good?
Oh, did we lose you?
Am I gone?
Oh, I think you're back now. There you go.
Well, what point did we lose me?
Well, when I threw it back to you, you got probably 2 seconds in, and then you became a robot. I don't even.
Oh, boy. No telling if any of that played out. If it didn't, we'll let it go. I'll clean it up in post. If it did, then we're good. I think that's it, though, for now, for the Future Freaks, at least. Again, full visitor list over there. Big weekend, obviously. It's kind of what I was touching on at the end of it. It was just kind of a big weekend. Obviously, a chance for you to really kind of just continue to add and button up this 27 class, which is awesome already.
More
to be done.
And I'll say this too, and I'll throw in a few more words just in case we need to go back and post and edit that thing up. And so I also want to say quickly that this is a massive weekend, equally in a sense, for the guys that are already committed. Because
yeah.
And I'm not going to dive in too deep. I'll probably write about this a little bit on the site for our subscribers, but I'm just going to tell you right now, over the last couple of weeks in my travels especially, I've picked up on a number of pledged prospects being pursued by other programs behind the scenes. We talk a lot about flips. There are a lot of other programs out there that are already trying to lay the groundwork in terms of flipping OU's pledges in 2027. And yes, it's the number one ranked class, but I think there are some guys coming in this weekend, to be honest with you, Josh, that, like, yes, they're committed to Oklahoma, but they're hearing an earful from other spots. And so the staff getting to bring them back in this weekend is equally as massive, just trying to fend off those other programs trying to get their guys.
No, that makes sense. And the full list is on there with the commits as well over on Sooners Illustrated. So that's a great call as well. Before we go, I mentioned it off the top. You've been all over the place. You were down in Houston. Obviously, you had Under Armour in Dallas. Just some other kind of notes from you from the road. I mean, I know you've been out seeing guys, talking to guys, just kind of miscellaneous notes here from the road that didn't quite fit into the other things that we touched on. I want to make sure we open it up because, again, you're all over the place. So any other kind of straggling things you want to make sure you took a note of or mentioned here on the show before we got out of here?
Yeah, I between the last couple of weeks and then the remaining weeks in the month of March, I've done the math, and I may not spend a weekend at home in the next month plus. So
lots of
doing
traffic.
What I can for the people. Very tired, but I will say, let's lead off with Under Armour Dallas, one of my favorite events of the year. Brings out everybody, right?
Right.
And it's always cool to see all of these guys in a good-on-good setting. UC Report crew does an outstanding job of putting this event on, and it's also a very cool opportunity to just see everybody and catch up with everybody, from the recruits that you've known for years to the guys that maybe you talked to virtually but you haven't met in person. And then the high school coaches and the trainers and, like, everyone comes together. It's one of my favorite weekends. So a couple of guys that I wanted to talk about. Let's talk about Kyron Brown out of Amarillo. When's the last time we talked about Amarillo on the show?
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe I'm playing Amarillo by morning here in a second, going out to see Kyron Brown. But the Palo Duro wide receiver in 2027 – I think this is a stock up for the Sooners, if you will, in terms of where OU is with his recruitment.
Yeah.
Now, it's tricky because Oklahoma already has Damari DeJern and Trayvon Hall, and they're positioned well for a couple of other guys. But Kyron was kind of a newer offer on the table. Early feedback here with Kyron Brown, very impressive. He's going to visit Oklahoma in March. We have the date on the site, and we talked about a little bit other contenders and things like that. But not only is he going to visit OU in the month of March, he has already been very vocal about wanting to book his official visit at OU sometime soon. I expect that to get ironed out here quickly, especially whenever he's on campus. And so one of the primary takeaways for me was that Kyron Brown will be more and more of a name to know for Oklahoma at wide receiver, especially if something happens to one of the wide receiver commits.
Yeah, right.
Brian Swanson won offensive line MVP of the camp, played in the Under Armour All-America game, and South Oak Cliff High School standout tackle. We've talked about him a ton.
Yeah.
Texas still leads there, in my opinion, but he did book his official visit at Oklahoma. That's in the works. I believe that was his first OV to get on the books too, which is significant. I still think Oklahoma trailing Texas towards the top. You've got SMU, Arizona State, a couple others, but an elite offensive lineman going to go check out Oklahoma. And outside of that, noted a couple of 2028 guys to keep an eye on for OU. So I encourage the folks to go check out that piece on Sooners Illustrated. But it was
Yeah.
It was a great time. Oklahoma commits. Some of them were there, if I remember correctly. A lot going on, but
yeah,
good event in general.
No, I mean, absolutely. You know, and obviously Swanson, the name, and this guy we talked about quite a bit, but, you know, just big 4-star, 6'5" offensive tackle from Dallas. It's just like we mentioned what they already have in the cycle in 27. That's another one. And I know you said that you think they're probably trailing Texas right now, at least by a shade. But that is one that it's just it's hard not to get like really excited about the possibility if they were to find a way to do that with Hackett and Penny. I mean, it's just we talked about earlier with the names you mentioned back, obviously early on with Future Freaks weekend coming up, but that offensive line cycle in 27 is already fantastic, but they're still after some really big names and some really good players. And so, yeah, his name certainly jumps off the page when you read it anytime, because you just know what he is. You know what he is. He's a classic offensive tackle, just behemoth human who's awesome. And so you would love to do that if you could find a way to do it, obviously.
Yes. And then the other thing that I'll quickly talk about, spent a few days in the greater Houston area this past weekend, meeting with recruits, sat down with Micah Rhodes, sat down with Keldred Benn,
right.
Met with a number of recruits, and I'm going to have a lot more content coming from that trip here in a little bit. I'm debating on how much I want to get into. I'll say this. I'll have a note on the number one recruit at his individual position in the country for 2028 coming up here pretty soon. I'll say this too.
Please.
I just put out like a notebook of 3,000 plus words from that trip. So if you want a ton of intel that I'm not going to be able to discuss, go check that out. I'm doing pretty well on the site so far. One guy I wanted to quickly talk about, Trenton Blaylock, Torrey Blaylock's younger brother.
Yes.
So Trenton, this was another one I think that kind of similar to the Juju talk where it's like, okay, corner makes a ton of sense for Oklahoma. OU was in heavily. And then I don't want to say it felt quiet, but it's like, all right, how does Trenton fit into all these different corners and stuff that we talked about? OU went out to go see him just before the dead period. They had a very productive meeting. And something that I felt very interesting coming from Trenton was he talked with Brent and Xavier Brewer, and Venables basically told Trenton, like, hey, man, you may not know it or you may not see it in yourself, but we see you not just playing corner. And the early feedback here is that Oklahoma is now increasing its pitch towards Trenton in terms of potentially playing safety or playing nickel and being able to play one of the three spots in Oklahoma's secondary, which in turn, in my opinion, then makes a little bit more feasible to find a spot for Trenton if you go out and you land some of these elite cornerbacks that Oklahoma has been pressing for a very long time. I think that's very significant, especially because, I mean, we talk about corners. There are safeties coming into town this weekend as well that are like elite of the elite. Jalen Scott, one of them, that Oklahoma is also involved with. And so for Trenton, a guy who's being pursued by Texas, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, a couple of others, but I put this content on the site. He is hearing from some big name programs too behind the scenes who might pull the trigger and get involved. It was good to hear that Oklahoma's kind of been laying a unique groundwork and almost kind of taking a different approach with Trenton to ensure that he knows how they feel they can fit him in the class. And he did mention, too, that OU has done a great job of recruiting Trenton Blaylock, not Trenton Blaylock, Torrey Blaylock's brother, if that makes sense.
Sure. No, and that because I wanted to ask you, because I feel like I've certainly been guilty of it. I'm sure OU fans in the same boat of just kind of assuming that OU was going to get him because of his brother, because of his dad.
Yeah.
In your mind, how much weight does that have? It seems like, not that it doesn't have any weight with Trenton, but it doesn't feel like he is hell-bent like some other brother combos. I mean, it obviously happens all the time. Like, we kind of knew the Jandros are going to be together. Like, it happens. It doesn't sound like he's hell-bent on, like, he has to play with Torrey. It sounds like he's going to go to the best spot for him. Is that a fair assessment? Because, again, I feel like we're kind of guilty of it with the brother. And, again, you loop in the dad combination of, like, oh, he'll be at OU. And it's like he very well may end up at OU, but doesn't sound like it's just a given, like a layup that they're going to be able to get this guy.
I think Trenton had some, it sounds cheesy to say, but he had some pretty powerful quotes in the stories that I wrote where he basically said, look, like what Torrey has accomplished is motivating me to do more and be the best. But he was essentially like, look, Oklahoma has told me that they're recruiting me because they like me as a recruit, not just because of who my brother is or him being there. Oklahoma has made it known. He even said that, like, Oklahoma has said, if something were to happen and Torrey were to leave for whatever reason, they would still be recruiting Trenton because they want him.
Yeah.
But Trenton then said, in turn, I am not just going to pick Oklahoma, and I don't want Oklahoma to think I'm just picking Oklahoma because my brother is there. And he wants Oklahoma, in turn, to feel like he went through the process and evaluated options thoroughly to find the best fit for him, and that through all of that, he arrived at the conclusion that Oklahoma is the best fit. Now, is that going to happen in the end? I think Trenton is very open in saying he'll go wherever. And I think he's showing you with his actions, too, of taking an official visit to Texas and looking at Arkansas and Vanderbilt thoroughly. And I also have gotten the sense that if some of the programs that I have heard that are showing interest in Trenton behind the scenes as he's throwing down track times like nobody's business, if some of those brands get involved, I'm not going to rule out their ability to suddenly leapfrog Oklahoma and take a lead in a sense for Trenton. He wants to find the best fit for himself. And I think too, what his he understands that his skill set plus the position that he plays, making sure he finds that is extremely important from a developmental perspective. Oklahoma is obviously going to be a great fit for him. I don't think that's going to be changing anytime soon. But he's also still getting to know Lamar Morgan, right? And he, you know, Trenton said too, like, he's not going to be able to really take spring visits because of track season. So if it comes OV time and Oklahoma's still there, but he has a ton of new offers and it leads to change of plans, I think he is far from a guarantee to land in Oklahoma's class, despite the family connection. If anything, I think Oklahoma will really have to apply the pressure to ensure that if they want to get him, they go out and land him.
Interesting stuff and a fun name to keep an eye on. Certainly one of the many cornerbacks in 27 that Oklahoma is after. Could be an all-time group if they could find a way to lock up a few more of these, to say the least. Think that's it for now. We'll let Colin get back to it. Obviously, we only scratched the surface. Obviously, there's so much more recruiting content on the site, whether it's for this weekend or in Colin's travels. So be sure to subscribe and be with us over there to get the full picture. It'll dive into a little bit of it and kind of expound on some things on the show. But the full picture, obviously, you got to be a subscriber to be able to keep up with everything and make sure you don't miss anything. Obviously, another big weekend of OU sports, hoops, baseball, softball, spring ball is coming up. Tom and I teased it on the Tuesday show. It is official now that Monday we're going to get OU Spring Media Day. Brent Venables, Jim Nagy, the new assistants, and all the new players. Yes, that's like 50 people in total that we're going to get to hear from on Monday. And so full coverage of that is going to be obviously on the YouTube channel and on the site. And then Tom and I will circle back on Tuesday to discuss it all and wrap up the weekends for OU sports. So a loaded Monday of kind of the unofficial kickoff of the spring in a way on Monday. So keeping up with all of that. And then Tom and I'll be back on the show on Tuesday. Colin and I will probably have to go Friday maybe next week because Pro Day is Thursday. So we'll figure that out next week. But yeah, a little bit of a moving target next week as we're getting into football stuff. It's ramping up a little bit, which is exciting. And spring ball, obviously, just around the corner. First practice officially set for March 25th. So less than 3 weeks from today, OU will have their first practice. We'll be getting into spring ball up until the spring game on April 18th. Exciting stuff. We're getting to the fun time. Recruiting about to pick back up. So fun time of year, obviously. And subscribe, be with us every step of the way as Sooners Illustrated. I think that's it for now, though. For Colin Kendi, I'm Josh Callaway. We'll be back next week for a lot more football, other sports, all the other good stuff. We'll see you then next time, right back here, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.